Okay, hi. This is Miguel and Adriana, and we're here today in Skopje, Macedonia, North Macedonia, should I say, to do our fifth podcast. Can you tell me a little bit about where we are and Macedonia, Adriana, please?
Skopje is the capital of Macedonia, and it has about almost 600,000 inhabitants, I guess. The same as most capital cities, with lots of things to do and places to visit. And we live in a beautiful area surrounded by parks and shopping centers. And
the weather's beautiful.
And the weather is very sunny. It's amazing. Nice today.
Yeah, hot but lovely.
Yeah.
And we're enjoying it very much. So I've got a couple of questions, Adriana, that I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind. The first question is, we know that you've been blind for a majority of your life. Can you tell me a little bit about how you know what that's like and how much that impacts on your life, the fact that you've been blind from...
So I was born sighted, but early, and yes. I lost my sight in the incubator. So I guess throughout my first early years, I wasn't even aware that I was blind or that something was wrong with me
until
I started school. And then things kind of became a bit clearer because some of my friends were doing large print, and then the teacher kind of mentioned that, you know, we can't see. And even then, for a couple of years,
yeah,
I think till I was 10 or so, I kind of didn't have a good concept on what sight is like and things like that. So I guess during the first part of my life, I felt like...
Do you think it was easier?
Anyone else feels, because I wasn't aware of it and wasn't thinking about it.
Mm.
But in other ways, I felt that I was having some challenges and difficulties that I couldn't explain to anyone.
Okay.
And then as time went on, when I started to realize more and more and became more aware, I think there were lots of things happening from then onwards in different aspects of my life. And I guess with the support of family and friends,
of course,
and teachers and others, I guess I've been trying to control that and help myself get through things.
What would you say, Adriana, in your own words, is the differences between someone like you that lost their sight quite early and someone that lost their sight at, say, 15 years old, 30 years old? What do you think the big differences are between the two? Early sight loss and late sight loss.
Well, I guess...
If any.
We probably don't go through the same kind of grief
that
they go through, because, you know, we already know that we're blind, and even if we don't, maybe we kind of react differently because in some ways, I guess we don't miss what we
don't have
haven't experienced in some ways.
Yeah.
But I guess I have some friends and I know of others that have lost their sight later in life, so I understand how they feel and I try to empathize with them and help them through and learn what things are like for them as best as possible, so that I can be there for them and provide the good advice and support.
Okay. Where I work at the RNIB, a lot of the clients, the people that we deal with, tell us that for them, life with visually impairment and blindness gets harder and harder. And we've heard that a lot of that is to do with just the day-to-day difficulties of living in the sighted world. Would you agree with this statement?
Yes. I think that sometimes we have all kinds of challenges, but... depending on where we live, I guess we face with different problems, And I think one of the main problems is the inaccessibility. I think technology and things becoming more accessible has changed things for the better for us in some ways.
Yeah.
And I think if that continues to happen, that would help us a lot. And also, I think we don't always experience the same kind of hell and resources than some other people do. And that sometimes makes things very frustrating.
Okay.
Because I believe that everyone who needs services should be able to access them.
I agree.
Or find some kind of help, even if it's not in their own country, maybe like somewhere else.
Mm.
And that doesn't usually happen.
Okay. What are the biggest things that get you annoyed and impact on you, you know, about your sight loss? What gets on your nerves? What makes your day annoying or, you know?
Sometimes, I guess we deal with all kinds of things that we don't like.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's very hard to make some people understand what we go through.
Mm.
And sometimes even if we think that they understand,
they don't.
Something always happens that complicates things a bit more.
Okay.
And that, I think, is the biggest obstacle.
That makes sense. So you've just explained what makes things difficult for you. So how do you keep your mental health state resilient? You know, how do you not break down? How do you keep yourself going? What do you use to?
Well, depending on what's happening, I try to break things into pieces sometimes.
Wow. Okay, that's good.
And write things down to help myself go through whatever I'm going through and make some like plans on.
Yeah. What about friends and family?
Next, like, you know, talk to people or do something of some sort. And I think in a way that kind of calms me down a little bit.
Okay.
Otherwise, maybe like it would be more upsetting.
Mm.
And then that also kind of, you know, makes me, I think, like make good connections and good friends, because, you know, when you know who the best person is to talk about something, or who would offer the support when you need it, you know, that's, I think, the most important, to have like good connections and good friends.
Okay.
And sometimes even like resources and people that can help, like the RNIB and other places. But I think the connection is the most important.
How do you feel about the fact that you don't have access to guide dogs in your own country? Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
This is not, I guess, not just about me, but other blind people here and anywhere in the world where there is this problem.
Mm.
I think that we should all be equal.
Yes.
And I understand that sometimes resources are hard to get.
Mm.
But there are some things that should be taken as a priority, because we see how sometimes money are being spent on things that maybe they wouldn't benefit much of anyone or anything, while others are suffering to get there. Because guide dogs and canes and mobility is life or death for us. Like,
yes.
If we don't get these kinds of trainings, like, they would hinder our independence and our life in general.
Mm.
Because I guess we, you know, we won't always stay with our parents and families and to take care of us, like, you know, if we want to live life, we have to, you know, take care of ourselves and kind of have as normal life as possible, like other people do. And I think that, I hope that that would one day change, that we would look for ways and resources to fund, you know, our own programs and different things that are of benefit of people.
So do you think that things are changing generally for people with visual impairment and blindness? Do you think things are getting better? Do you think they're getting worse generally?
I think that it's a very long process for things to get better, because the education and equipment and everything blindness related is so expensive.
Yeah.
And we're facing so many problems with even postal services, customs, and things like that, importing equipment.
Yeah.
So I think that with countries with small blindness markets, I think that organizations like the World Blind Union and European Blind Union and others, these things should be like discussed.
I find it interesting that you talk about it like that, you know, the blind market, you put almost like a monetary value on it, you know, it sounds...
But it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of like that because...
Yeah.
You know,
that's the practicality.
We would be consumers if we are buying this stuff. We would be consumers, and you know, if 95% of the blind are not working and if the rest are not earning enough to survive, that blindness market is not here, because most people can't afford, and if no one can afford much, you know, pretty, you know, much those resources are not there if the governments can't help us, and if we can't get spare parts and people that are trained to fix these things, even for schools and other places, that complicates things even worse. So,
well, that's it. I would just like to remind everyone that this was the fifth podcast in the series of 12 of the Blind Pen Pals and the Light Across the World project. So I'd like to thank you and say goodbye. So thank you very much for your time, Adriana.
Thank you for inviting me.
No problem. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.